We are happy to have you with us today for the statewide conversation with Minnesota state officials on COVID-19. It's brought to you by the Amper's Network of Radio Stations. I'm Heidi Holt, and I'm live from the KEXE studios on the snowy banks of the Mississippi River in Grand Rapids, Minnesota. Thanks for being here today. Today, we've got Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan joining us to answer questions that came in this week from around the state. This conversation every week is your opportunity to ask questions about Minnesota's response and plans during the current COVID-19 pandemic. If you didn't get a chance to send or call in your question this week, email covid@ampers.org or call, leave a message at 612-562-9895. This conversation is a collaboration of Amper's Diverse Radio for Minnesota Communities and the Minnesota Broadcasters Association. Lieutenant Governor Flanagan, thanks for being with us again today.
Thanks so much, Heidi. Good morning.
Good morning. So we've got some big things to talk about. Announcement about how many Minnesotans have gotten the vaccine. Over 1 million doses have gone out.
It's super exciting. So we are celebrating that today. And I wish that, you know, I had a confetti gun and some noisemakers, because after the long winter, it has been something that's been really hopeful. So, that is today. We still have a ways to go, but I think in order to continue to keep our spirits up and keep Minnesotans back, you know, just engaged and excited about this, we need to take a moment to celebrate those wins too.
Yeah, and new tools for us as well. Before you and I started talking, I signed up for this vaccine connector. Even though I'm not of the age where I'm eligible yet, at least I got my name in there and I can get more information. Can you kind of tell us a little bit about this?
Sure. So, Heidi, I'm super excited that you signed up for the connector. I did just this morning, too, and it took like less than 5 minutes. And we want to make sure that as many Minnesotans as possible sign up. So the COVID-19 vaccine connector is a tool that helps Minnesotans find out when, where, and how to get the COVID-19 vaccine. So when Minnesotans become eligible, the vaccine connector will alert them of their eligibility, connect them to resources to schedule a vaccine appointment, and notify them if there are vaccine opportunities in their area. So we wanted to make it as easy as possible for Minnesotans to know when it's their turn and then where they can go to get vaccinated. It's easy to sign up, and all Minnesotans 18 years of age and older should sign up, no matter what their current vaccine eligibility status is. Like you said, Heidi, you're not yet eligible for it, but you will be. And we want you to know when that time comes up. So there's no cost and no restricted time period for signing up. Health insurance and personal identification forms are not required for signing up. And all folks need to do is go to mn.gov/vaccine connector to sign up. If you're unable to sign up online, folks can go ahead and call 833-431-2053 for assistance signing up over the phone. So folks will have to just provide basic information like contact information, demographic data, medical history, and employment to determine their eligibility status based on our state guidelines. So it's exciting. I'm glad that we rolled it out, and I keep getting texts from friends who said that they just signed up and how easy it was. So we want to just continue to reinforce that, and also to know if folks need additional help signing up in additional languages other than English, we have that available for folks as well.
You know, I'm remembering back to a couple of weeks ago when we talked, and not everybody can do this, but there are multiple ways that you can find this vaccine. So if you're over 65. We just talked to someone earlier today on the air about it who's 69, and she had heard from someone in her community that a couple towns away they had extras, and then this other town had it, and so she just started making lots of phone calls. She also had signed up for the state one, but she hadn't been chosen yet, but she was able to find it after kind of doing all that detective work. So if you're able to, there's other ways to get to this vaccine as well if you're over 65.
That's correct. And so, you know, there are, you can go through your local health provider if it's available there. People also can see if their local pharmacy has it available. But this is, you know, calling this number or getting on this list is really, you know, online is really the easiest thing that you can do to get connected. Heidi, the most exciting part of my week, of course, 1 million doses is important, and I was thrilled about that, but my most personally exciting news of the week is that my mom got her first dose of the vaccine. And so she signed up through Walgreens. So there's multiple pathways, but we are hoping that the connector is also just going to add a little bit of clarity and ease for folks getting connected to the vaccine in the easiest way possible.
Well, there was no shortage of news this week. Also, announcement about schools. Can you kind of fill us in on what Governor Walz called a public health imperative to get schools open?
Sure. So I think, you know, Heidi, we've talked a little bit about this. My daughter went back to school a few weeks ago, and it has been pretty exciting to have kind of a brand new kid in our house. My daughter is an extrovert, which should surprise no one. And so when she comes home, she's like just full of energy, talking about her day. It's made a tremendous difference to her overall mental health and well-being. But you know, when we talk about it being a public health imperative, you know, that means that public health includes social and emotional health. For some students, they've been learning at home for almost a year now. And, you know, it's an important mitigation measure, but we also have to balance that with its effect on social and emotional health. You know, returning to a classroom also helps reconnect students with the nutrition, screening, and other health supports that they may receive at school. So the research and data is showing us that in-person learning isn't significantly contributing to community spread. So it's important to offer safe options for in-person learning so that our students can interact with their teachers and with their classmates again. We know the toll that this has taken on families, and I have to say that I think our students have sacrificed more than anyone else in this state. And we had the opportunity this week to make the announcement that we are encouraging middle and high school students to go back safely, of course, and had a young man named Lane, who's from Owatonna, who's a high school senior, and was just talking about what a difference this will make for him and for his classmates. And that's really what it's about. We can do this safely, but we want our young people, you know, our young people don't come in pieces. They need that full experience. And I think being at school helps keep kids connected with additional caring adults, but also with that peer support and learning, of course, that makes a tremendous difference. So this is also a hopeful moment, I think, for folks across the state.
Yeah. We had a listener question. They asked, what criteria do you think parents should prioritize as they decide whether to send their kids to school? And how can parents be sure that decisions about schools and students are not being driven by politics?
So, you know, the safe learning plan that we have in place has been clear that if families choose to have their students remain in distance learning, they can. So I think it's important to just name that right off the bat, that if that is the choice for children and families, that is an option for them. This plan does not force anyone to be in an unsafe situation. And the decision to send your kid to school is that. It is yours. You know, what's important, I think, is communicating with your school to learn more about their mitigation measures and plans so you have peace of mind. I will be very honest. You know, when I sent my kiddo back to school, it was like her first day of kindergarten all over again, at least for me. I think she was like, see you later, Mom, I'm good to go. And I thought about her and worried about her all day long. And so I just want to be real that I understand that as a parent. But I also know that our school community is incredible. Our school is full of caring adults who are doing right by our young people. And as we've said over and over again, I think young people understand masking and safety and mitigation measures more than a lot of adults. So, you know, I have the confidence in my own school community, and I just encourage parents, as you're making this decision, you know, that you talk to the teachers and school administrators to make sure that you feel like this is the best decision. But I know nobody cares more about our kiddos than our you know, teachers and school leaders and support staff. And so far, what I've seen is that they are doing a tremendous job.
Well, and since you said your daughter was an extrovert, is that part of what she's telling you after school every day about wearing masks or how things are going that way so that you feel a little more confident?
Yes, and I certainly know the name of the children who need extra reminders to pull their mask over their nose. So I get a full report every single day.
Oh, boy.
I think she probably will actually be a journalist when she grows up.
That's great. So we had another question about schools. This listener wanted to know, when will all teachers in Minnesota receive their vaccines? And what about people like bus drivers and custodians and lunchroom workers? Are they also in line to get that vaccination?
Yeah, so the good news is that, you know, right now we know that more than 25% of our educators have received their first dose at least of the vaccine. So that's that's super exciting. And you know, all teachers and essential workers will have the opportunity to be vaccinated. But the changes in federal guidelines at the beginning of this year did throw a wrench. You know, we talked about this, Heidi. You know, they threw a wrench into the works on timing when former Secretary Azar announced that everyone over 65 will be in the priority 1B group. So our original plan was to take care of people in long-term care facilities and healthcare workers in the first group, the first group being 1A. 1B would be people over 75 and then essential workers like teachers, bus drivers, and food workers. So when Secretary Azar changed the rules, it took over 500,000 Minnesotans over 65 and put them in with the essential workers. So right now, we are focused on finishing up 1A, moving on to vaccinating people over 65 and teachers and educators while we revamp our plan for the rest of the 1B group. So that then, you know, we will offer guidance on how we will prioritize essential workers and take care of the rest of our elders. But school staff are also eligible, contract staff are also eligible for the vaccine at this time.
You're listening to the Statewide Conversation on COVID-19. We're talking with Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. You can send in your questions to covid@ampers.org. We got a question this week about the variants of coronavirus. Dr. Osterholm and 12 others signed a letter that went to the White House and the CDC saying that while COVID-19 infections and deaths have started to decline in recent weeks, they remain at a very high level. They wrote, unless strengthened precautionary measures are implemented, the new variants will likely bring an explosion in new infections. What are we doing in the state to prepare for this? And are you concerned about an explosion of new infections?
So Dr. Osterholm is right that all viruses mutate and that variants are a part of that process. You know, the more a virus spreads, the more mutation and subsequent variants will occur as the virus tries to become more successful at infecting people. That's what viruses do. You know, the way to stop the mutation is to stop the spread. And, you know, the way that we do that at this point come as a surprise to no one is to continue to wear masks and practice social distancing. So, you know, that's why it's super important right now. We don't have to get there, I think, is the most important message. Like, you know, that is not a statement of fact that that will happen. We can actually control our own destiny in this moment by continuing to not let our guard down. Wearing a good multi-layer mask or double mask, and know that it's also important when you have that mask on that it fits well, so that there's no gaps, between your face and the mask. And when your breath is going through, it's going through the fabric and not around it. So just a good reminder to have a properly fitting mask, make sure it's over your nose, and washing your hands and practicing that good social distancing. So, you know, I see a lot of folks who are walking around, and I think you probably do, Heidi, with their nose hanging out. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Dr. Osterholm has also said that this is the same thing as leaving a screen door open on a submarine. So just, good reminder there, right, that a mask is good if you actually use it properly.
Right. Well, let's move on to another question. We got this one from a dad of a grad. He said, my daughter graduates from college in May. The university has announced that the graduation will take place at an outdoor stadium with social distancing. While I can drive rather than fly, I'll still have to stay at a hotel and eat at restaurants. My daughter really wants me to come, but if I haven't received the vaccination by then, will it be safe for me to go?
So first of all, hooray, congratulations, dad of grad, that your child is graduating. I also just want to say that, like, I know that this is tough. COVID is robbing us of joyful events in our lives. So weddings, graduations, going to the movies, hugging people, but there are ways to minimize the risk of many of these activities, but you can't eliminate risk. So, any situation that we are in, right, there is some element of risk. Short of being vaccinated, it's not safe to travel. So you can only take steps that will help make it less risky. So COVID, you know, will spread wherever people gather. So people gather at graduations. I know that the health department would recommend that you not go and to see if you could participate remotely by watching a stream or video recording. But my hope is that maybe by May it'll be different. If you do decide to travel, taking really strict precautions before, during, and after travel is how you can minimize but not entirely eliminate risk. So stay home before and after traveling, wear a mask, wash your hands frequently, and stay distance from those outside of your household. I also would just encourage you, for folks who are flying too, to be really cognizant of the guidelines that each airline has in place. There are some who are doing better than others, even though President Biden has said that all people need to wear masks while traveling now. Just check it out. That's just also another way that we can minimize that risk.
We had another question that came in this week. This listener said, my parents recently got their vaccine and overheard people saying that now we can go out for lunch. The people saying that seem to think that the vaccine gave them immediate immunity. The vaccine doesn't work immediately, does it? And once vaccinated, you can still get it, right? The symptoms just won't be as serious.
Yes. So you are not immediately immune from getting COVID-19. So I think, you know, there are lots of things that we need to remind people about what it actually means once you get the vaccine. I think, you know, we have great vaccines. Their effectiveness rates are very high, and it's amazing that we've been able to get to them this quick. But, you know, it's important to remember that they were approved for emergency use. And so you are not fully protected by these vaccines until 2 weeks after your second dose. you know, you certainly can get vaccinated and then get COVID. So that 2-week time after your second dose is really important. And, you know, you're also going to need to continue masking and observing social distancing after you've been vaccinated. We're finding that the vaccines are 95% effective at keeping people from developing asymptomatic illness, but we don't yet know if you can contract the virus and spread it asymptomatically. So that research is still ongoing. So I know, you know, that what people want to hear is that as soon as you get your shot, it's on and you can go outside and do all the things. But we still are going to have these public health measures in place and as a way that we care about our community until we learn more about this virus. I would not, you know, the bottom line is that these vaccines protect you from severeness of illness. And I think it's helpful if we sort of thinking about it more through that lens, knowing that we still may be able to spread it to others. We're just not clear yet because it hasn't been around enough.
Well, and this is a repetition of our conversations throughout this year, but pay attention to the source of, you know, where this information's coming from. Just overhearing someone, seeing it on social media that it's okay, that's not good enough to think that you can just go out as long as you've had your vaccine. I had a chance to take a masked walk with a friend who's a doctor, and so I was grilling her on, you know, she had both of her vaccine doses, and I said, so how are you going to change your life now? Will it be different? And she was shocked. She just said, no, of course not. She goes, maybe I can go out to eat with my coworkers who have also had the shot, but we're not, I'm not comfortable yet, she said. And she said, maybe I can go visit my parents for the first time once they've had it. But she wasn't quite sure yet either. So that helped me to understand kind of someone who knows the science, who works in the field, continuing to take precaution.
That's right. And that guy you went to high school with, who's not a doctor, might not be the best person to listen to on Facebook to get your medical information.
Exactly. Oh, gosh. So we heard from a granddaughter this week who said, my grandma is old enough to get a vaccine, but she doesn't access the internet at all. How can she get her spot in line for the vaccine?
For sure. So the best thing that you're to do is to work directly with your grandma's healthcare provider. Most Minnesotans will get vaccinated in their own clinic or local pharmacy. All of them provide phone numbers for people to call to make an appointment. But a lot of family members have been going online with the elders in their lives on the phone and setting up accounts with them. But I want to just reiterate that your grandma, or you could sign up your grandma via phone. And I'm going to give that number one more time, which is 833-431-2053, to get connected to the vaccine connector. As I mentioned, my mom is not on the internet either, but she was able to call her local Walgreens pharmacy and get connected to the vaccine. So there's lots of there's still options for people if they don't have access to the internet. And I think it's really important to just keep reminding folks that does not have to be a barrier to getting connected to the vaccine. So thanks so much for that question.
Well, I'm glad to hear that your mother is not on the internet, so she doesn't see the kind of public interaction with public officials that happen on social media.
And I think it would be hard for her to not comment on some of the comments may be left for me.
Right.
So and it's safer for everyone.
Yeah. And any party. I'm not taking a political stand here. It's just it's quite a world we're living in right now when it comes to social media.
That's right. She does enough. Well, frankly, I think sometimes she's a little bummed I'm not in the legislature anymore because she likes to watch the House and Senate, and then I will get updates as to what happened in committee hearings and what people may or may not have said about me.
She'd
be too dangerous if she was on Facebook.
Yeah. We had another question this week. They said, I understand that our state is going to expand the capacity for getting kids tested. What will that look like?
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things that I am really proud of is that Minnesota has one of the most accessible and robust testing networks in the country. Everyone who wants to get a test can get one. No insurance, no payment, or symptoms are required. So with the announcement that we adjusted our safe learning plan to move towards getting every K-12 student back in the classroom, we're also encouraging parents and families to get tested more often to keep our school building safe. So making it a part of your routine for families, I think, is one of the ways to make sure that we are keeping our families safe, but also our community overall. So you can find an accessible testing site or take advantage of our at-home mail-in saliva testing. And the turnaround for in-person testing sites or the saliva testing is pretty fast. So, you know, we know that our young people are less likely to have severe symptoms of COVID-19, but they can still spread it like any illness. And so it's important to remember that. But getting kids tested regularly is how we catch COVID early, slow down or even stop the spread in our schools or communities, and keep students and teachers safe and in the classroom. My daughter feels like a pro now when she gets her COVID test. She's like, just feels like ants in your nose, Mom. And so, you know, she's a little worried at first, but we try to get tested regularly as part of our routine as well. And it's just, it gives us peace of mind and also lets us know that, you know, it's a little way that we can take care of our community school and our community overall.
You know, at the beginning of this pandemic, we talked a lot in these conversations about supporting other people, supporting the small businesses in Minnesota and restaurants. I wonder if we can just reiterate that, because I think it's still really important and we don't talk about it quite as much anymore.
For sure. I would like to, you know, just reassure you that I have done everything I can to get a lot of takeout during these times, and the elastic band on my pants can attest to that as well. But I think, you know, it's just the commitment to continue to buy local. You know, our family tries to, if we can, do takeout 2 to 3 times a week, which is a relief for cooking, but also as a way to make sure that the places that we love stay in business. And again, trying to shop small, you know, small business for holidays, birthdays, that kind of thing is just another way that we can ensure that the places that we love in the community stay open. I will also tell you that I have a growing beaded earring collection that has been one of my outlets during COVID-19. You know, so we all have our things right now that are helping us get through, but hopefully, you know, making sure that we're supporting those local and small businesses is one of the ways that we can take care of each other, make sure they're still there post-COVID.
Yeah, I'm wearing a new pair of earrings I got from some indigenous jewelers out of the Duluth area, and it's funny how I would have thought twice about it before, but now I want something new, and the art is great, and it's a great way to support local.
Heidi, if you could just remind my husband of that, I would really appreciate it.
Well, and I shouldn't have said it out loud, because mine is listening. Well, thank you so much. That is our Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and we will talk to you again soon.
Thanks so much. Have a great weekend, Heidi.
You too. This broadcast is a collaboration of community radio stations throughout the state through AMPR's Diverse Radio for Minnesota Communities and the Minnesota Broadcasters Association. Listen to the full conversation at kaxe.org. And if you'd like to ask a question, send an email to covid@ampers.org, or better yet, leave a message at 612-562-9895. I'm Heidi Holton for KAXE KBXE. Stay safe, and thanks for listening.